to the book of John, St. John. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. In the book of St. John. And in St. John, I want you to look there in chapter number 2. And I'd like you to notice in about verse number, let's just back up in verse 19. If you're able to stand, we'll look there in verse 19, St. John chapter 2. And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, if you're saved tonight in verse number 22, you believe the scripture, you believe the word. And if you don't believe it, then you're not going to be one of his till you do. But now verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God tonight, bind the devil every demon assigned to hinder. Have we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation? And we'll say thank you for saving the lost, lifting up the downhearted, setting the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on You Can't Sweet Talk Jesus. And that's going to be the title of it. Did you know in this lesson that we're looking at in verse number 23 that whenever he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the Bible said that many believed in his name when they saw the miracles? You know what the motivating factor was? They saw some miracles that he done that was impressive. And they decided, you know, I'm going to believe because I saw the miracles. That won't get you born again, friend. The average Baptist preacher in the day will say, well, you know, you just need to get in the baptistry now, repeat this little prayer and jump on in here. I'm going to tell you, God knows what's in your heart to hear tonight. This Bible said that they believed on him because of the miracles. What reason would you believe on him? I got to tell you is that I grew up going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival time. We even went to them long, drawn-out, boring business meeting time. And let me tell you right now is that God ain't for that. You know, we've had people in days gone by, you know, here we are, if we have business to take care of, we go ahead and take care of it. And we don't, and somebody come back in all them other churches and say, hey, how can you have a business meeting without us here? I said, how could we have a meeting and you be gone? Well, what do you mean? That's what I'm asking. Well, we don't have to. Listen, you think we can't handle God's business as it comes up? You know, a lot of that old stuff come from them old hard head, hard shell, bossy back stuff. They wanted to be able to control the church by just a handful. Here's the thing I never understood is that church goes to call a preacher and they got it fixed where that you got to have at least 75% of the vote to be able to call that preacher. And somebody said, why is that? I said, so 25% of the congregation can control the other 75%. That's true. Now, we don't have that trouble here whatsoever. And I brought that up simply so that you'd be able to know that that's the reason why that our world's in the mess that it's in. Why there's so many lying and cheating and so much conniving. Listen, we don't have any God-fearing men any longer in politics. I used to, whenever I preached something about the political world, I remember years ago that a dear old lady would say, I don't think a preacher ought to say nothing about politics. I don't care what you think, I told her. Reason why that politics is so dirty is the pulpit quit warning people about it and what was going on. You see what I'm talking about? In the lesson that we're looking at, there's a lot of people who think that they've got Jesus fooled. They think somehow or another they just sweet talk him a little bit. And the Bible said when they saw the miracles, couldn't you just imagine how they was bragging among themselves at the miracle that had taken place? We don't have time to be able to deal, but one of them was when he turned the water in the first part of the chapter, turned the water into wine and saved the best for last. And let me tell you right now is you'll find out that people have used that ever since to try to justify themselves into being able to take in a drink. Well, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine. I used to, before I ever learned what all that meant, I used to say, yeah, but it wasn't Budweiser. See? That's true. And besides that, you'll find out that you already know the story and you already know the scriptures, is that the three major offerings that were in the Bible, there was the meat offering that was for sin to be there was the meal offering showing fellowship, and there was a drink offering, one of the three major offerings that was in the Bible, and the drink offering was of the most potent liquor alcoholic contact there was, and they were to take and pour that out before the Lord and to show them that I've got something that's stronger than you can put in a bottle that's able to pass, give me the peace that passeth all understanding. Now, you know what liquor does for a person, don't you? Well, it makes them feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. In fact, is they always, you know, I told the story years ago and I don't even know where I heard it. But it's like two men were walking down the railroad tracks, and one of them got down in the junk pretty good. And he said, man, this is a long flight of stairs, ain't it? And the other one, just to show you that he is right with the program, he said, yeah, but ain't these the lowest banister rails you've ever had to hold on to in your life? See, it just messes you up. I said all that is that these are some people that saw some of the miracles that had taken place, some of the things that had been done, and yet you find they tried to sweet talk the Lord. But you can't sweet talk Jesus, and he's not. And notice, if you will, the rest of the passages that we've read. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He knew they weren't being drawn by the heart. Listen, let me tell you something right now. It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With his mouth, the Bible said, confession is made unto salvation. You know what this crowd was? They're like that crowd that we read about and preached about a day or two ago over in Matthew 15. They lay aside the commandments of God that they might teach for doctrine the commandments of men. You know, in the day we live in, I'll tell you what the problem is across the country in the churches. It's not the person sitting in the pew. It's the man standing, it's the puppet standing in the pulpit. And it's going to get worse. Yes, and until Jesus comes, he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall come again, shall he find faith on earth? Fewer and fewer times is that we get to the places that you can find anybody that's a real God-sent, heaven-bound, hell-proof, born-again child of God. You find a lot of people that make a profession because of a miracle's been done. I'm amazed at now that all the people that are professing that they died and that they went to heaven, and now they're back trying to sell their book to tell you what went on. They're lying. That's a lie. Sometimes they'll take a little old kid. It started out real big, and they'll take a little old kid and say, you know, it died, and listen, it came back. They've seen this child, seen some details, saw some of the kinfolks, seen his grandma, seen some things, and heard some things. That's a lie. Don't be swallowed up by that. They're just lying. If a child dies, buddy, and sees Jesus, he ain't coming back until Jesus comes. He'll still be with him. In this lesson that you're looking at, you begin to find out is that this is the crowd here. They had the wrong motive. They came because of the fact that they saw the miracles, and they thought, well, you know what? Those are some good miracles, and those are some good things that he's performed. And not only that, but he has served good meals and so forth. And so they were glad, but Jesus said he did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. That means he knows you and I, knows everybody that ever has been born, ever will be born. And the Bible said, and he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now don't lose the idea here, but turn to the book of Luke in chapter 20. We're talking about you can't sweet talk Jesus. And let me say to you that we've got one thing in common, all one with each other, and that is we're all born without hope, without God, born a sinner. And let me tell you, the only one that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, it'll come by hearing the word. And let me say to you that when you come to know him and the free pardon of sin, he will give you the measure of faith that will save your soul. Look in Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter number 20. And the Bible says in about verse 21. Let's take up reading there. And they ask him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Talk about sweet talkers. These are people that hated him. These are people that wanted to catch him in his words. These are people that wanted to have him put to death. And now here they are trying to flatter him. And said, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Talk about really laying it on thick. He said, then they said, is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not? Or no? But he perceived their craftiness. Listen, the Lord knows if you're real or not. He knows if you're trying to catch him in something and using craftiness. But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? In the next page he said, show me a penny, and whose image and subscription hath it? And he answered, and they answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer, and they held their peace. Now I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find out that up and down the road of life, and this is just the way that it is. It's this way tonight. It's always been that way. I've had a preacher or two that got old, got senile. They couldn't remember, you know, a lot of things in the Bible. And it was real easy for anybody that was a rebel to take a passage or two and to trip them up and to confuse them to where that, you know, it just made a fool out of them. And I'd seen that a time or two in days gone by. I'd like to be done before it gets to there with me. But let me tell you right up front that tonight, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the power of God, you attack me with something, you better know a chapter, a book, and a verse. Now, when I get to where I don't know the chapter, the book, and the verse, I'm hoping some of you will. But nonetheless, I got to tell you, wherever you go and whatever you're involved in and whoever you're involved with, you're never going to be able to sweet talk Jesus and put on a show and talk about how good God is. If you're a rebel in your heart. You know the biggest thing that hurts harmony in the average Baptist church? It's not some rebel that sticks their ugly head up. Not some rebel that's a gossiper and a whisper and a backbiter. The biggest trouble you've got lives in the house with you. I guarantee you right now, the biggest problem my wife has is me. The biggest problem she's got is her. And let me tell you, if the devil can get the two of us wrangling with each other and backbiting and fussing and cussing and fighting and feuding and being cold and full of empathy toward one another, then he's pretty much got you sewed up. Biggest problem that we have is in our household. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that don't ever get to the place to where you can think that you can sweet talk the Lord and that somehow or another you'll be able to do whatever you want to do and get him to buy in on that deal. He knows our craftiness, does he not? There's something else that in this lesson as we're getting ready to close and down to the short room, let me say to you, this is the chapter that we preached about that if you don't fall down on the stone and let it break you, the stone's going to fall on you and grind you to powder. Now, there's two ways to be broken. One of them's in humility. Humble yourself before God. And the other one is that you said no so long till now you're so hard-hearted. When God's stone falls upon you, it'll grind you to powder and scatter you to the four winds. I'm glad to say that without question, that I'm glad that I know him and that he knows me and that I'm one of his own. I'm glad that he broke my heart to show me exactly what in the world that he was going to do for me. Look in the book of Psalm 34. There's a passage there as we get ready to get down and wrap it up tonight. But in Psalms, I believe in chapter 34, look at about verse 18. The Bible said, verse 17, let's back up to it. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth. You remember the last time you cried out unto God and he heard you? And deliver them out of their troubles. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you young mamas and daddies, you got enough troubles to deal with on your own, but you ain't seen nothing yet until these kids go to get and be teenagers. You think it's something now, you wait till it's there. And then you wait until after they go to get marrying stage. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm not marrying a family. I got to tell you, you are too. The rest of your life, there's going to be some involvement there. See? And as a result of that, you'll find out is that we hope that it all always turns out good, but you better be careful. You better be careful. But notice in verse number 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of them is broken. And on the cross of Calvary, let me tell you right now, is this Bible teaches that the church of the living God's bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh. And not a bone of him is going to be broken. I'm looking forward to the day when the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise again. We which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I go out there, I told you early this morning sometime, and I go out there and to that cemetery. And I walk out there and I think, well, boys, we had a pretty good service. We had a great service today. It missed you, but I'm sure you're better off than where we're at. And when I turn around to leave, I tell them, I'll see you resurrection morning. You know why? That'll be the next time I see them. If you're saved here tonight, we'll never say goodbye for the last time. But if you're not saved and you're not going to get saved, you hug me every time you can, and you spend as much time as you can, because if you die without the Lord, we'll never see each other again. But if you die in the Lord, I'll see you resurrection morning. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our Father, as we get ready to depart from here tonight, there may be somebody whose heart's being troubled about their need for Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd trouble them until they find peace with thee, and not until then. And then may they come forward and make it known that they've trusted Christ in the free pardon of sin. Now bless your word to every heart. Bless every family that was here tonight. Be with those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake hands with somebody on